This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Bo Bennett, and I'm the host of the Toastmasters podcast. I have the pleasure of interviewing the 2013 Golden Gavel recipient, Susan Cain. Susan's got a book out called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. This book has been translated into 30 different languages. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for almost a year and a half. Her TED Talk has gotten over 4 million views that broke all kinds of records. And Bill Gates actually said that this TED Talk is one of his all-time favorites. Now, that is impressive. Please help me welcome Susan Cain.
Thank you, Bo. So great to be here.
Well, we had the pleasure of speaking with you about 6 months ago on podcast number 64. That's the Toastmasters podcast number 64, posted on January 3rd. Back then, we spoke for about 20 minutes all about introverts. We talked about how introverts are pretty much defined, that they're defined on a continuum, and there's no one person that's actually a full introvert or a full extrovert. They're somewhere on the continuum based on social factors, situational factors, cultural influences. What else did we talk about? We talked about, I remember the statistics, you said about 50%, maybe even one-third to 50% of the American population are introverts. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's right. It's literally one out of every two or three people. And I know, you know, people are always surprised by that statistic, but that's the surprise is only because so many introverts get into the habit from a very young age of acting more extroverted than they really are. But, yeah, you know, that doesn't change their true selves.
Right, I could see that. We talked about successful leaders that, believe it or not, there are many successful leaders that are introverts as well. They're not just extroverts. They're introverts too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this is true in business. It's true in the arts. And there's actually interesting research pretty recently out of the Wharton School finding that introverted leaders actually deliver better outcomes than extroverted leaders do when they're managing employees who are very proactive and excited about what they're doing. The introverts get better results from those employees than extroverted leaders. It's interesting. Whereas extroverted leaders do much better when they're managing people who need, you know, a lot of inspiration and a lot of rousing and that kind of thing. Extroverted leaders do better in that case.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, we all do best in different conditions, really.
And I bet one of the reasons for the introvert's success in leadership has to do with their creativity.
Yep, that's right. That's absolutely right. And there's actually a lot of interesting research that has found that many of the most creative people have serious streaks of introversion. You know, they're people who want to go off by themselves. And like the act of being in solitude is actually a catalyst to creativity. And solitude is not easy for everyone.
And we finished that podcast talking about Toastmasters and how Toastmasters is great for introverts. And we get plenty
Absolutely.
Of different examples. And I kind of want to spin off that and talk about effective introverted speakers. And because there's this idea in Toastmasters, and maybe it's not universal, maybe it's just the way that I see things sometimes, my twisted view. But from my experience, I get the feeling that people really feel that they need to be charismatic and they need to be jumping up and down and have body language and enthusiasm, and they need to wow the audience. They need to pull a Zig Ziglar and Anthony Robbins in order to be effective. But that's just not the case. I mean, there are many very effective, what I think I would consider introverted speakers. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I am so glad you're bringing this up, because I think that this is such a profound misconception that really gets in the way of people being able to deliver effective speeches. Because if you're trying to act like someone who you're not, the audience is going to know it in 2 seconds, and yes, you know, you've got no connection with them. And in fact, there are lots of speakers who are much more low-key, and many audiences who prefer that. When I was getting started speaking, one of the first things I did actually was look around for role models of speakers who are really effective and also more low-key in their delivery, because I knew somebody like a Zig Ziglar, while a wonderful speaker, couldn't be a model for me personally. So the role model that was most useful for me was Malcolm Gladwell, you know, who's a writer like me. The minute I saw him speaking, I knew he was an introvert. You could just tell, you know, he's always searching for the right word. His delivery is much more low-key and much more cerebral. But he's also widely recognized as a world-class speaker. People pay like literally over $100,000 per speech for him to come and speak to them because he's so good and he's so thoughtful and they always get great ideas from him. Wow. So, I think that the idea that you have to have, there's only one kind of personality style that makes an effective speech is a real misunderstanding. And in fact, you know, really what makes a speech effective is, are you being yourself? Are you connecting with the audience? Are you telling stories that are interesting? Are you sharing information or stories that are compelling? It's not about, you know, jumping up and down and being super dynamic. That's a quite lovely way of doing a speech, but that's only one way of many.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because if most times when you think of a speech, dividing into two different categories, you have the content and then you have the delivery. But what people don't realize is then you could take delivery, divide it into two more categories. You could have more of a subdued delivery or more of an enthusiastic and excited delivery. And it really depends on your personal style.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I would say if you have a more low-key style in general, you probably need to amplify your normal speaking style a little bit when you're up on stage, but you don't have to totally transform who you are.
Right.
And really the key is, are you like honest to goodness, passionate about what you're speaking about? And if you are, that's going to come through one way or another. You know, you use the slight amplification and then let your passion carry you through. And those two things together are plenty.
That's an excellent point. I didn't want to give the impression that you can be, the Ferris Bueller teacher, Bueller, and really stimulate an audience just because you happen to be that kind of introvert. But yeah, and what you said really rings true is that passion. The passion comes through. Sometimes it comes through in people getting excited and jumping up and down and moving and walking across the stage. But sometimes the passion comes through differently. And I think that's where the introverts come in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if my local Toastmasters chapter is any indication, Toastmasters is filled with introverts who are not going to naturally jump up and down. Right. Most of the members of my chapter are introverted. And we found this out when my book came out and I started talking about it, and they all said, oh yeah, that's me. So I think it's really important for this organization in particular to be modeling many different styles.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about your presentation coming up at the 2013 convention in August. So what exactly are you speaking on?
Well, I'm talking about the ideas in my book, you know, that we've been talking about earlier. A third to a half of the population is introverted. That's one out of every two or three people that we know. So it's ourselves, maybe. It's our parents, it's our kids, it's our colleagues, it's our spouses. And we're not, for the most part, making the most of their hearts and minds. So, you know, I see where we are with introverts today as being roughly analogous to where women were in the 1950s and 1960s, which is to say half the population whose talents we are discounting because of a trait that goes to the core of who they are. And if we can bring about a kind of consciousness raising and a sea change in the way that we see introverts, we're going to see introverts and extroverts starting to work together much more effectively, and we'll be better off in our schools, in our churches, in our workplaces, all the way through.
That's great.
So I really see this as one of the, as really the next great diversity issue of our time. You know,
sure.
We know the case for racial diversity. We know the case for gender diversity. It's time now to talk about the case for personality diversity.
Good stuff. And we spoke last time in somewhat detail about how introversion affects both leadership and public speaking. And I imagine that you're going to be going into more detail and giving us more great stuff at this event.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk about public speaking, about leadership, about creativity also, another real, really key point when it comes to introversion and extroversion.
Great. Well, now I want to talk quickly about your books and your online course. Last time we spoke, you mentioned this online course in public speaking, which really got the curiosity of our listeners up. So I would like to find out a little bit more about that and about your website. Just go ahead and tell us where people could find you and what you're up to these days.
Absolutely. So my website is thepowerofintroverts.com. That's where you can find me. I also have an author page on Facebook, and my name is Susan Cain, C-A-I-N. You know, in terms of what I'm up to next, my my next big project is I'm starting, I think it's turning out to be a kind of really big organization, and we're going to be developing online courses and public speaking for introverts. And we're also going to be developing curricula for teachers who want to better harness the talents of the quieter kids in their classrooms. We're going to be doing trainings for business people, trainings for parents. So all across the board, we're at the very early stages right now. And I would just say, if you are interested in hearing more as these programs unroll, please come to my website and just sign up for my newsletter, and you will find out more. There's one place on the website where you can sign up specifically for the online courses in public speaking, but if you want to just, and that's fine, but if you want to hear more broadly, just what's doing and get blog posts from me and that kind of thing, you can just sign up for the general newsletter.
Great. And what's your website address again?
Oh, thank you. It's www.thepowerofintroverts.com.
Perfect.
And if you forget that and you just sort of Google Susan Cain and introverts, you'll get there too.
You'll find it. Perfect. It's the magic of Google.
The magic of Google. Great. What would we do without them?
All right. Susan, it has been a pleasure again to speak with you, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this event coming up in August at the 2013 International Toastmasters Convention. We'll see you then, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Bo. I really enjoyed talking to you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Joining us now from Atlanta, Georgia, is Ryan Jenkins, Advanced Communicator Bronze, author, speaker, and coach. Ryan will be presenting a session at the International Convention entitled Next Generation Communication, Improve Your Influence with Advanced Communication Skills That Transcend Generations. Ryan Jenkins, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Ryan and Bo, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. So, Ryan, tell us a little bit more about next generation communication and what you have on tap for us at the International Convention.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our session. And, you know, next generation communication, right, as we all probably are aware or feel the pinch, that there are so many new avenues and ways to communicate now. The platforms are constantly changing. The ways we communicate, the how we consume content are all ways that we're communication's changing. So we're gonna have a good time with the attendees, and we're gonna look at some of the communication shifts and how, as from a written communication standpoint, people can be more effective. And then also from a spoken perspective, obviously being Toastmasters, that would be a value add. And just look at some of the shifts and how they can become more effective leaders through effective next generation communication.
Nice.
Yeah. So
how does social media factor into next generation communication?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think in a typical workday, people can send an email, pick up their phone, send a text, while leaving a voicemail on through Skype, and then people are leveraging podcasting. I mean, social media is constantly growing, and it feels like it's spilling into so many different areas of communication. But specifically, think about Twitter. Think about the new app Vine. All these ways that we're now connecting and leveraging social media, we're kind of put into a box from how much we're able to communicate. Twitter limits us to 140 characters. Vine limits you to 6 seconds of video. And so constantly there's this new accountability on leaders to create very concise, simple communications that people can digest, because there's so much that's fighting for our attention these days. It's really on the leaders to spend more time on the front end to figure out what is that one thing I'm trying to communicate and communicate it effectively across whatever platform works best for their industry or their team.
Right. How technical is this presentation going to be?
Oh, not technical at all. I think one of the benefits in my presentations is I don't talk at the audience, right? That doesn't benefit anybody. If I'm telling you something that you already know, that doesn't help, right? So I try to elevate that the talking a little bit, kind of maybe expose them to some trends or some new tools that they haven't used before or thought about using, and to just stretch their thinking a little bit. Because again, we're talking about next generation communication. So how can they start rethinking the ways they are communicating and then applying through different social media outlets, or even just in simple spoken format, new ways to communicate. So not technical at all, and we're just going to have some fun. I am going to leverage a lot of high-tech tools, so we're going to do some mobile live polling where people can just pull out their cell phones and they can poll live, and we're going to use some video. We're going to get folks on the web and interacting with some things. So it's highly engaging, but again, it's using the tools of today, and I think participants always have a lot of fun, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. It sounds great.
Yeah, Ryan, I wanted to ask you, I'm sure you're aware that within any organization, but Toastmasters as well, there's a wide range of demographics. And I'm thinking particularly of those at the older end of the spectrum who, not all of them, but some of them may be technophobes.
Yeah.
So for someone who hears you say the word Twitter and bristles because they don't even know what the heck that is, they don't understand it, they don't
bristles,
maybe wanna know.
Isn't that a country?
Will your presentation have value for the technophobe, I guess is my question.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point. And I would say absolutely. I would say even if they feel as though they are a technophobe, I think all the more reason to attend. Because we keep it high level, but again, we're going to kind of stretch that thinking. And for every point that I give real life examples from brands and leaders. Hmm. So one of the examples I'll be using is Heinz. And back in the 19th century, what did they do that created some cool communication and some kind of next generation thinking that helped them connect with their consumers and customers? So we're going to have plenty of throwbacks that should really land with anybody.
Hmm. I heard that they put advertisements on horses. They branded it right into their sides.
That could be. Yeah, absolutely.
It was found to be inhumane, so they stopped doing that. Rumor has it.
Rumor has it. Okay.
Google it.
We won't quote you on that one, though. Well, Ryan, we really appreciate you coming on the show today to share a little bit about your session. I understand you will be presenting Thursday, August 22nd at 1 p.m., and I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic session. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And joining us now is Vincent Ivan Phipps, founder and president of Communication VIP and a professor of public speaking at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Vincent is going to be presenting a session entitled Lead, Showing Today's Leaders How to Adapt. Vincent Ivan Phipps, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Vincent.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure, Vincent. So, Vincent, I understand LEAD in the title of your session is actually an acronym. Can you share with us what the various letters stand for?
Absolutely. The LEAD in LEAD stands for the four different types of leaderships that all people need to be able to adapt to. The L stands for leadership styles that are laid back and low key. The E stands for leadership styles that are energetic and emotional. The A stands for leadership styles that are accurate and analytical. And the D stands for leadership styles who are focused on being direct and dominant.
All right. And tell us a little more about the significance of these styles and why they are important for leaders adapting.
Well, there's that old euphemism of are leaders born or are leaders made? In my opinion, it's a combination of both. And for a leader in any capacity to be successful, they have to know how to effectively connect and to say the right words and to be able to influence with different types of people. LEAD is a program that's been developed over combining a combination of Myers-Briggs and DISC, D-I-S-C. It helps you to identify how to reduce miscommunication, how to improve communication efficiency. For example, if you have someone that is a dominant D-style leader and they're requesting information, all they may want are two or three bullet points, and that's it. Any more information than that would aggravate them. But if they ask that information from a style that is considered the A, analytical, accurate style, they may receive 15 bullet points, two email attachments, plus three email links. And the analytical style is thinking, I've done a great job of providing all this wonderful detail, when the direct style gets offended because they have so much content that they can't process it all. Each style thinks they're doing the right thing, when the result is there's miscommunication because each style failed to read what the other style is really wanting.
Gotcha. So there is no right style, correct?
No, there's only the adaptive style to what's appropriate for the situation.
All right, okay.
For example, if there's a building on fire, you need to get out as fast as you can. Now, do you need to have an analytical process to determine which of the four routes is best? Well, if you take that approach, you're going to end up barbecue. So there's no one right style. It's just what's needed for that situation.
Right.
The phrase that's coming to mind for me, Vincent, is not treat others how you wish to be treated, but treat others how they wish to be treated. Is that
Absolutely.
Part of the equation here?
Absolutely. And I grew up in Tennessee, and I was raised in the South, and there's that old theological perspective that you want to treat other people where they want to be treated. And this does have a lot of ramifications for being honest and being trustworthy. When it comes to being professional and being a good manager and being a good leader, you have to know how to adapt to people the way that they want to be treated. And what the seminar will teach everyone how to do is a combination of three things. They'll recognize their own style, they'll understand the do's and don'ts of other people's styles, and most importantly, gentlemen, they'll understand how to adapt when necessary to be more effective in their communication.
Vincent, out of the various leadership styles represented by the acronym LEAD, the one that Yes. strikes me as the most counterintuitive is
Yes.
is L, laid back and Yes. low key. I think a lot of people might hear that and think, laid back and low key, that doesn't sound Right. like a leadership style. Could you tell us, obviously, for all of these styles, there are, I'm sure, both strengths and weaknesses. What are some of the strengths of laid back and low key leadership?
Well, the misconception is just like you said, that if you are a laid-back, low-key style, you're an ineffective leader. When statistically, when I've done this research with over about 15,000 managers who have the position of mid-level manager up, 40% of our American population are the laid-back, low-key styles. So they're the biggest of all the leadership styles. The thing that is the most common about what makes them most effective is that laid-back, low-key styles, they do process information. They don't make rash decisions, they're loyal to the people who they bring in, and they're patient for allowing results to occur, and they don't make rash or snap decisions out of anger, out of expediency, or out of anyone else's lack of appreciation. They're very comfortable with having a process, they go step by step, and they may not make 100 decisions a day, they only might make 10 decisions a day. But they're going to have a higher percentage of accuracy because they're going to think things through, which is what an effective manager should always do.
Yeah, this is interesting because we just recently interviewed Susan Cain, who was talking about introverted leaders. And she yeah. said pretty much the same statistic about, she said somewhere between one quarter and one half of leaders fit this category.
Absolutely.
She gave us a whole bunch of examples and also noted that these kind of laid back, or if she calls them introverted leaders, also tend
right.
to be very creative.
If you look at someone like Oprah Winfrey, whose original leadership style would be energetic, emotional, mm-hmm. she also has a secondary style of laid back, low key. So she has a balance there. If you look at one of our most prominent presidents of the Jimmy Carter, his prominent style was laid back, low key. Yet he was a very effective as one of our presidents. So it's not necessarily if you're laid back, low key, that you're passive or that you're weak or that you're afraid to share your opinion. It's that you're more reserved about your opinion. You think things through before you just blurt things out, which is an introverted behavior, but it can be advantageous if you are in a team with other people who have very strong, dominant, energetic, or dominant leadership styles.
Right. Wow, Vincent, well, we've only scratched the surface here today, and there's certainly a lot more that could be mined here from this topic, and you are going to be sharing it with the Toastmasters audience when?
The session is going to be held on August the 22nd, which is a Thursday, from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. What with LEAD is really going to teach you is how to adapt to others so that you can be more effective, because the more you know, the more you grow.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And we look forward to your session.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's an honor to speak with you. Look forward to being there as well.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
You also have a great day, gentlemen.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.